Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead that we seem to many times know the least amount about. You know, is he a person? Is he a force like Star Wars, you know, or a thing? Or is he just an idea? You know, who is the Holy Spirit? And so tonight, I'd just like to take a few minutes this evening and just comb through the Scriptures. And it's not going to be an exhaustive thing. You know, the hardest thing for prepping for me tonight is there's so much stuff to try to squeeze it into about 20 minutes was tough. And so, who is the Holy Spirit tonight? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask the Lord's blessing on it. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless this time as we open your word. We pray, Lord, that as we speak about the Holy Spirit tonight, that the Holy Spirit would manifest himself upon us tonight. Lord, that he would speak through us or speak through me and speak to us. And God, I pray if there's one here that's lost, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would accept you as their Savior. And Lord, we love you and we thank you again for the opportunity to be here. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. You know, there's some folks that seem to think that the Holy Spirit is some kind of impersonal force of some kind, or they seem to think that he's a source of power controlled by God, but he's not fully a person himself. There's the thought, too, that the Holy Spirit is just another name for Jesus. You know, this Jesus in a spirit form, apart from his body. But you know what? None of those things align with what the Word of God says. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the first things that the Bible makes clear about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is God. You know, along with God the Father and God the Son, you know, God the Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. In fact, he's referred to as the third member of the Godhead, because usually when he's referred to in the Bible, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's the third member of the Godhead. Look with me there in Acts chapter number 5 that you turn to. Look at verse number 1. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart, look at this, to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men," but look what he says, "but unto God." And so Peter reveals here that the Holy Spirit is God, right? That he lied to the Holy Spirit and he also lied to God at the same time. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28 this evening. Matthew chapter number 28. You know, while you're turning, we just saw that Peter referred to the Holy Spirit as God, but you know, the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the Spirit of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:17. And here in Matthew chapter number 28, in verse number 19, this is Jesus himself speaking here. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of one the Father, and two, the Son, and three, the Holy Ghost." You'll notice here that Jesus is acknowledging that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God the Father and himself, God the Son. And these three together make up what we call the Trinity, right? The Godhead. Go with me now to Genesis chapter number 1. I told Brother Todd a while ago, we're going to flip a bunch tonight. You'll either love it or not, I don't know, but we're going to flip a bunch this evening. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." We know that. You know, the Hebrew word used for God here is Elohim. And Elohim is a uniplural noun. I'm a band director, so I had to really look up what that meant. Some of y'all are smiling. It's a singular noun with a plural ending. The I-M in Hebrew is a plural ending. So it means like one but many is what it means in the Hebrew language. He's one God, but there's many there as well. Skip down to verse number 26 for a second. In verse number 26, I want you to notice here the plural forms of personal nouns here. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, here's where I'm going with this. Look back up at verse number 2 with me for a minute. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. So, we see here that the Holy Spirit is, you know, is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. Look at verse number 2, and it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And look here. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." From the very beginning of our Bibles, we see the Holy Spirit present. In fact, the second verse of the entire Bible, here's the Holy Spirit showing up. And notice what happened before. Notice what was it was like before the Holy Spirit looked up. You know, it was without form. It was void. There was darkness. And then when you start reading the passages after the Holy Spirit shows up here in verse number 2, suddenly there's life and there's light. You know, but take note of that, that the Holy Spirit is light. The Holy Spirit is life. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Well, verse number 10. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." But look at this. "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you," which quicken means to make alive, "shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Notice here that the Holy Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit quickens. He makes alive. He makes life. You know, in Luke 1:35, when the angel appeared to Mary, you know, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." It's the Holy Spirit that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be formed in her womb. And in 1 Peter 3:18 it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." And speaking of Jesus here, it says, "being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." You know, Jesus died and was buried, but it was the Holy Spirit that made His body to be quickened or to be made alive. You know, if the Lord tarries His coming and we all go to heaven one day by the grave, you know, one day our bodies will be quickened just like Jesus' body was quickened. When the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, you know, it's the Holy Spirit who quickens. It's the Holy Spirit who makes alive. And so not only is the Holy Spirit God, but the Holy Spirit is a real person. The Holy Spirit's not an it, right? The Holy Spirit is a person. It takes three things to make a person. It takes intellect, it takes emotion, and it takes will. And the Holy Spirit, we're going to see here, has all three of these things. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so I'm going to go through a really quick exhaustive list here of just some attributes that the Bible tells us of the Holy Spirit. We're already here in Romans chapter number 8. Slide down with me and look at verse number 27. Verse number 27. You know, but before we get to, I skipped one point here. You know, the Holy Spirit is referred to in the Bible as He. He's not an it or a thing. Like the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit as He, as a person. You know, in John 15:26 and John 16:13, the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as He. But in Romans chapter number 8 that we're already at, look at verse number 27. It says, "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We see here that the Holy Spirit has a mind, right? He can think, right? Not only that, but we see the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Praise God. But look down at verse number 34. Here's something that's really cool. Look in verse 34. "Who is He that commendeth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also," notice the word "also," "maketh intercession for us." Not only does the Holy Spirit make intercession for us, But we see here that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We ought to rejoice in the fact that the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ work together for those of us who are saved, those of us who are believers. We should rejoice in that fact. Amen. But you know, I'm going to pick up the pace here really quick and just go and shoot a bunch of matches. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:10, we see that He searches the human mind. And in 1 Corinthians 12:11, we see that the Holy Spirit has a will. And you know, He imparts spiritual gifts to believers as He determines and as He wills. And as I'm hitting these, I'm just hitting one because I don't want to belabor. Sometimes you can bog down. I don't want to bog down and belabor and give a bunch of verses. There's more than one verse to support these, but I'm just kind of giving you the one I thought was best. But there's many that support these. You know, the Holy Spirit forbids. You know, in Acts 16:6, He forbade Paul and Silas and Timothy from going to Asia. And then in verse number 7, He forbid them from going to Bithynia. He forbids us from doing certain things. But not only that, but we see in Acts 16:10 that the Holy Spirit permits things. Because in Acts 16:10, just a few verses down from the other one, He sent Paul and Silas and Timothy to Macedonia. And praise God that He did, because if otherwise the gospel would have went the other way instead of our way. Not only that, but there's all kinds of examples throughout the Bible that the Holy Spirit speaks. I have a reference book that I had, and it was like two full double-column pages of all the references that where the Holy Spirit spoke to people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, in Romans 15:30, we see that the Holy Spirit loves. And Ephesians 4:30 tells us that He can be grieved, and He says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." He can be grieved. But you know, the Holy Spirit also prays for us. In Romans 8:26, we're in chapter number 8 there in Romans. Look at verse number 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And we see all these, and I went through them quickly, but we've seen all these attributes, and there's many, many, many more, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He has all the attributes of a person. He has a personality, I guess would be a way of saying it. So, you know, we see that He's God. We see that the Holy Spirit is a person. But you know, one of the most important works of the Holy Spirit was that He inspired and He authored the Word of God. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The Holy Spirit inspired 40 men who penned the Bible over a period of about 1,500 years. And when you look up the word inspiration, you know, it's not like I'm inspired today to do something, you know. When you look up, I mean, that is one of the definitions. But from the biblical standpoint, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines inspiration as a divine influence on a person to qualify them to receive and then communicate sacred revelation. And that's what, when the Holy Spirit inspired these men who penned the Bible, He gave them the words to speak and they wrote it down. You know, it was the Holy Spirit who authored the Bible. It's Him that wrote it. It was men who penned the Bible, but it's God's Word, right? And God authored the book. It's God's Word on the page. And it was the Holy Spirit who moved those men to write that way and pen it. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." They wrote down what the Holy Spirit gave them. In 2 Samuel 23:2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." So we see here that it was the Holy Spirit who inspired the writing and the authoring of the Word of God. But not only that, not only did He inspire the writing of the Word of God, but even today He interprets it for us. He interprets the Word of God for us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Holy Spirit interprets us. He interprets His Word for us. First Corinthians chapter number 2, or verse number 9, says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And let's pause here for a minute. I mean, we can't even begin to fathom in our little finite minds what, I mean, and appreciate what Christ really accomplished for us when He died on the cross for us, right? But then we can't really fathom either, like, what heaven's going to be like. And not only what's heaven going to be like, but what's that glorified body that we're going to have going to be like? You know, Andy and I talked about one time, we're all going to be like real-life Marvel superheroes, right? I mean, like the stuff that we're going to get to do. I mean, right? And we're going to walk through walls, I mean, maybe, like Jesus did, right? Just appear from here to over there. I mean, you think about the things that we can't even fathom, right? Or when the Bible speaks of His unspeakable riches. And you know what? We can't even fathom the fact that we're joint heirs with Jesus. That we're going to partake in His riches. I mean, we can't even fathom that, right? Amen, right? But, all right, so let's keep going. I didn't mean to get a chase a rabbit. But look in verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." We don't have the ability to understand spiritual things in and of ourselves, right? We only know, like, stuff that humans know, right? That human nature, that's what we have understanding of. We don't have understanding. We have the ability in and of ourselves to discern spiritual things. So let's keep going here. Look at verse number 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world," speaking to those of us who are saved, "but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Speaking of the lost man, right? You try to tell somebody that's lost about the Lord, and they think we're just crazy, right? They think it's just nonsense. It says, "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It's not until the Holy Spirit sticks His finger in your heart and starts messing around with it that we finally start to understand, right? And we get that understanding of the things of the Lord. We understand that we're lost, staying in need of a Savior, right? It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the Word of God to us. He's the one that provides the understanding that we get of the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit who illuminates our hearts and illuminates our minds to spiritual things. But, you know, we see that the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, and we see that the Holy Spirit interprets the Word of God for us. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for salvation. You know, John 16:8 says, "And when He is come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The word "reprove" means to convict. You know, the Holy Spirit it convicts people of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us know that we're broken and we're lost before a holy God. It's Him who convicts us of the sin. Turn with me to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. I always tell the teens, all the T's are back there and together, right, in the New Testament, right? All the T's are there together. Go back to Titus chapter number 3. Verse number 5. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. This could be like a month-long series. There's so much about the Holy Spirit. And we're just barely skimming the top. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." That's a good place for an amen. "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord." Notice when we get saved, what it tells us happens here. It tells us that the Holy Spirit regenerates us. You know, the regenerate just means like a new nature, or even better, a second birth. You remember in John 3:3 when Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. That's why we have to be born again to see it. You know, and you think the requirement to live on earth is to be physically born. But the requirement to live in heaven one day is to be spiritually born. And so when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. He makes new life in us. See, remember, the Holy Spirit creates life. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives light. He's the one that comes in, and when we accept Christ as our Savior, He makes our spirit alive. We're born spiritually from that moment, because we're born, when we're physically born from our mother's womb, we're spiritually dead. The spirit in us is dead, right? And it's when we accept Christ as our Savior that the Holy Spirit comes in us and He indwells us and He makes the spirit in us alive. And that's our second birth, that we're born spiritually in that moment. You know, in Acts chapter number 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And listen to this, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, we get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what's that look like? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 19, it says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? When you get saved, you're no longer your own, right? Because look what it says, I didn't have you turn there, but in verse 20, listen to what it says. It says, for you are bought with a price. You know what that price was? It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, part of the gift that we just heard a while ago of the Holy Spirit is that He takes up residence inside of us when we would get saved. That's the gift of God. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit kind of came and went off of people. Yeah. But, you know, now in the New Testament, you know, in the age of grace, in this dispensation, you know what? The Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. He doesn't come and go. And so, you know, Romans 8, 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now listen to this. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If the Holy Spirit's not residing in you, you're not saved. That's what this verse is saying. So not only does the Holy Spirit take up residence in us when we get saved, but the Holy Spirit also seals us. You know, the Bible says that He assures us of our salvation. He is a promise. He's an earnest. That, you know, He's the down payment. You know, in Job 19:25, Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And so, you know, we know that from that indwelling, or sealed to the day of redemption, the Bible tells us, by the Holy Spirit. Listen to Ephesians 1:13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of glory. You know, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and we're sealed until the day of redemption when He redeems us with that glorified body. But not only that, but we see in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Why is there liberty with the Spirit of the Lord? Well, because He frees us from sin. He frees us not only from sin, but He frees us from the weight of sin. He frees us from the shame of sin. And He frees us from that bondage that just comes from sin. He's the liberty. He liberates us from that. And you know, the Bible also describes, Jesus actually describes the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. In John 14:26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, the word Comforter here is the Greek word paraklete or parakletos. It means one called to your side is what that word means. It's like a lawyer. You know, the Holy Spirit is like our lawyer. You know, He comforts us and He consoles us and He guides us. But you all remember what Satan's called? Satan's called what? The accuser of the brethren. But the Holy Spirit is the advocate of the brethren, if we want to think of it from that way. He's our lawyer. When the Satan goes to accuse us before God, it's the Holy Spirit that goes, but he's been forgiven, right? He's been redeemed. It's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God doesn't see it because the Bible says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. It's that we tend to keep ourselves under that bondage of sin. It's the shame of our sin, right, that we tend to hold on to. But in God's eyes, He's forgotten it. He's forgiven us for it. And it's the Holy Spirit that's our advocate before the Father. But you know what? We're commanded in Romans 8:29 to be conformed to the image of His Son. But it's the Holy Spirit that does that work of sanctification. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us more and more into the image of Christ and makes us more like Him. That word conform to His image means that we're to be a copy of Him, right? We're to literally be a copy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should copy who He is and act like Him. In Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our fruit is the works of the flesh, right? We're not capable of producing any of those things in and of ourselves. We're not capable. In fact, those fruits of the Spirit, that totally reads like a character analysis of Jesus, right? I mean, really. I mean, that's who Jesus is. Those are attributes of Jesus' character. Jesus is love throughout the Bible. Jesus is joy. Jesus is peace. Jesus is long-suffering. Jesus is gentleness. Jesus is goodness. He's faith. He's meekness. He's temperance. Jesus is all those things. And it's the Holy Spirit that manifests those things in us. He's the root, we're the branches, the Bible says. It's Him it's the Holy Spirit that manifests those attributes in our life. It's Him that begins that new work in our life. It's Him who creates that life and who grows those fruits of the Spirit in us and makes us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as these fruits become more abundant in our lives, we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's so much this evening about the Holy Spirit that I didn't touch on because of time. You know, I tried to rush through it, hoping to talk too fast. But you know, for what we did touch on this evening, we can see that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with God. He's co-powerful with God. And He's co-important, right? He's a co-important member of the Trinity, right? The Holy Spirit is God. And I think many times we kind of downplay the Holy Spirit, right? Or And they're co-equal. They all have a purpose with us. And so I hope you enjoy that tonight. I have so much. I don't know if this will be my last Wednesday with you all or not. Brother Robbie may use me in the weeks when he moves in. But I have so much enjoyed. I thank God for the opportunity. But I thank you all for giving me the opportunity too. I've really enjoyed bringing the message on Wednesday nights. And you've been so faithful in coming. So thank you. Love you all. This has been so good. And I just appreciate the opportunity. I want to say that. So let's close in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that we had an opportunity to open Your Word this evening and just get a better idea of who You are as the Godhead. And God, we just thank You for the salvation that's offered. And we thank You, Lord, that we do have an advocate with the Father, that we misstep. Lord, You're there. And God, we just praise You and we thank You for that. Lord, if there's one here that's lost tonight, we pray, Heavenly Father, that You would draw them nigh unto You. Lord, that they would accept You as their Savior and that You would give them another opportunity before it's too late. And Lord, we just love You and we thank You for Your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name and amen.